You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We may go back to the Pistons at some point because I think that's an issue that we're just getting into that I find pretty interesting. I hate the NBA, hate everything about it, but I think the Detroit Pistons are important to Detroit, and the course that they're on right now is not good for the city, and I think the city would get behind the team if they would get on some sort of winning course or just a course that makes sense. But right now, I want to talk a little MSU basketball. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Also streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. And Scott, as we talk MSU basketball, we'll get to the Purdue game in a second. But they beat Illinois, they beat Minnesota right in a row. I have two questions for you, and I'll ask you one at a time. Is that enough for them to get into the tournament if they win the games they should win down the stretch?
Can I just answer by saying, we're back. Final Four. National Championship. No, sorry. That's not true at all. Yeah, it's enough to put them in to the tournament. That's as far as I'll go.
Yeah.
It's weird knowing being that this close to the team. You look at their record and everything, and you don't necessarily think that they're there. What are they? 16 and 11. Not the greatest, but they have the good wins. They have the tough schedule, everything like that. And from where they were, from what kind of we expected to happen, those two wins were huge because it's not just the fact that they won those two games. They knocked off two other bubble teams.
And that's a big point. And also, they did it down the stretch. You know what I mean? I think the tournament committee takes a lot into how you're playing down the stretch. And MSU has definitely shown that they're playing better down the stretch, and they should be given credit for that. But the question I have to ask you is you know, you were talking about, oh, they're back, blah, 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 blah. This seems to be a trend that we're hitting more and more every single year, and it seems to be happening later and later as we get into the year. Now, obviously, you had the team a couple years ago that just waltzed through the Big Ten schedule and stuff, so I'm not really counting them. But overall, this team seems to get going later and later, and I just feel like this is a trend that Michigan State does not want to make a habit of. And I think a lot of teams, okay, let's say they make it to the Sweet 16 this year. I feel like a lot of fans are going to forget just how awful this team was at points this year. And I think that's a bad habit to start doing at MSU.
It goes back to even when we were trying to figure out when this team was at the lowest point, trying to figure out exactly what it was. And it was the Final Four run from last year. It puts expectations so high because you're right. People do forget the regular season.
People forgot last year's regular season.
Even though Michigan State had a share of the title, Big Ten championship.
But I'm just saying the way they played down the stretch and how awful they played in the Big Ten tournament and stuff and how awful they looked even going into the Sweet 16, to me, people forgot about it because of the Sweet 16 win and the Elite Eight win.
Yeah, it happens. The one thing that I don't like, the trend that I've noticed, whenever you say MSU, you say Tom Izzo, you think, oh, he's willing to play everybody. You always hear the national guys when they do a game, they play the tough games. Yeah, but it's starting to turn into more and more, they play them,
but they don't
beat
them.
Winning them.
Yeah.
And there's one thing to play all of them, and it does, you do get to figure out a lot about your team, and it does boost your strength of schedule. And when we have Jerry Palm on there, we'll find out exactly, because this guy, he knows everything about the RPI. So we'll figure out exactly how much help that does for a team. Because, and I've said it since the beginning of the season, quality losses don't get you into the tournament. And so kind of the stereotype or stigma I have with the team is they play the tough competition, but they don't beat them early on. And it's always like that because what happened beginning of the year, it kept coming into, well, Tom Izzo will turn it around.
They'll get it going.
And that's what it always turns into. And this one year, they are finally turning. I have to admit to that. Not all the way around, but it's much better direction than what they were. But you can't rely on that year in and year out.
I look at this team, and you know what my main argument is? Because I agree, they do always turn around. They are always ready to go when March Madness comes around. The problem I have with it is, when you start this trend of not playing well at the beginning of the year, and you have that attitude of, we'll turn it around, you end up cheating yourself as far as seeds go. If you win some of those early games, okay, even if they have 8 losses right now, okay, 9 losses, but they get 2 big wins at the beginning of the year. Right now, you're looking at an MSU team that everybody's going, wow, they played a tough schedule, but they won some big games. I think even with 9 losses, they're looking at a 4 or 5 seed. But instead, because they lose these games at the beginning of the year, and you can say all you want, it was a tough competition. A lot of those games, they just didn't show up. Okay, that UConn game, they just didn't show up, and I know UConn's a good team. They could have beaten UConn, okay? They should have lost to Washington because they flat out just didn't show up for the game. And that is the issue to me. It's not losing to these teams. It's playing these teams early on, not showing up, and giving away games that could help their seeding and get them to more Final Fours, okay? That's my argument. Yes, Tom Izzo has gotten him to 6 Final Fours. How many Final Fours would he have gotten him to if they had been playing well from the beginning of the year and gotten a 1 or a 2 seed like they probably should?
Well, let's look at it this way. Assuming they win tomorrow against Purdue, do well in the Big Ten tournament, and pretty much they're going to face Ohio State in their second game, I believe, if they win, because they're probably going to be a 4 or 5 in the Big Ten tournament that goes on to face the 1 seed. But even if they win that, really the highest seed they can get in the NCAA tournament is a 7.
Yeah, I was about to say a 6 or a 7. If they won the Big Ten tournament, they'd be a 6 seed.
Yeah, so the best they can do right now is a 7 seed. You know what the 7 plays in the second round?
2.
The 2.
Yes, they do.
You know what happens if you're the 4?
Not to mention the 10 seed is never an easy seed to
exactly
play. It's either the second most or the first most upsets happen in the 7-10.
I think it's probably first.
It would make
sense.
Well,
8-9, depending on what
you
look
at. I don't
count
8-9 as an
upset.
Exactly.
And that's one where it's not necessarily the seeding. They want a matchup, and that's where they're able to move, flip teams around. I mean, you see it all the time. You'll see a top 25 team end up as the 8-9 matchup there. But just imagine how much easier it can be when you don't have to face them until the Sweet 16.
And that's the argument that we're making here. I'm not saying Michigan State, I'm not saying Tom Izzo hasn't done a good job in the final fourth of this season, okay? I thought he did a lousy job in the beginning, but he has really done some great stuff down the stretch. I put together that Draymond Green triple-double, okay? That was a great move on Tom Izzo's part to allow Draymond to get that, to get some camaraderie with the team. Okay, so I give him a lot of credit for turning this season around. But we're turning it around later and later in the year every single season. And I'll be honest with you, and you heard me say it plenty of times, I thought they were done. I thought they were dead in the water. I thought this season was over. And frankly, while I was watching the Minnesota game, I found myself at times, during one of the most boring basketball games I've seen in a long time, I found myself thinking, you know, I kind of hope Minnesota wins this game. Reason being, I want them to learn a lesson. Okay, you've got players on this team that will be back next year. I want MSU players to say, hey, remember when we slacked off last year? Yeah, it ended up biting us. We didn't even get to the tournament. We're not having that happen this year. We're going to work hard in the offseason. We're going to do everything we can to get ready for next season, and then we will be good to go on game one.
I can only imagine with all the work that Draymond Green put in the offseason when they went to the Final Four last year and knowing how much better he had to be, the pain of missing the tournament, what that would do to him, the motivation that those guys would play with. I agree with you. You have to learn the lesson. And it just comes back to, I mean, and people can relate. You procrastinate. If you put things off, you're going to get burned eventually.
Exactly.
And they are cutting it so close. I mean, they really couldn't afford to lose another game. Like, if they would have lost to Illinois, there wouldn't have been room to turn it around.
In fact, there's still room in this season for them to get pushed out, okay? If you talk a Big East team, or, I mean, look at Marquette. Marquette just came out with a big win against UConn. Stuff like that happens all the time. So if they lose to Purdue, and then they beat Iowa and Michigan, but let's say they lose, let's say, the second round of the Big Ten tournament, I think there's still room for another team somewhere else, take a Nebraska or something like that, who now has one big win over a Texas, can get another big win down the stretch, and they can push MSU out of the running, okay? Now, do I think they're in? Yeah, probably. I think between the reputation and the wins down the stretch, I think MSU is in this tournament. But the bottom line is, okay, and this is what I keep saying, this is not a trend you want to start. This is not a habit you want to start. And for a lesson's purpose, okay, just to learn a lesson, I was 30% hoping they would lose to Minnesota. I wanted them to win, Okay? I like rooting for MSU. I don't mean to badmouth MSU all the time. I don't. I love Tom Izzo. I love MSU basketball. I used to love the Izzone until they stopped being a good fan base. Okay? I like MSU. The problem is they have underwhelmed me over the last couple of years. Or I shouldn't say last couple of years. Over the last 2 years, they've been underwhelming. And this year in particular, they've been disappointing and they haven't played to their potential. And that is frustrating to me. And I'm not even a fan. I'm not even a true MSU fan. I'm a Central fan. Okay. I watch terrible basketball all the time. It's called Central Michigan Chippewa basketball. But when I watch MSU, I'd rather watch Central because at least they play hard. Most of the time, I don't see MSU playing hard.
That's been my biggest problem, the lack of toughness from day one. It was getting out-rebounded, something MSU never does. Giving up so many points in the paint. Go back to Syracuse. That was just absolutely astounding. How many times guys got in the paint, and there's nothing done about it. But it does
now, and let me clarify this, because this is not what you mean. I don't want somebody to interpret this wrong over the air. You're not talking toughness as in Delvon Rowe playing hurt,
exactly.
Draymond playing
that's,
the virus.
That's what I was just going to get to.
And I just didn't want anybody to call in and be like, hey, you're wrong because of that. That's not what you're talking.
Right. I mean, on the court, being physical, being that MSU, Aloysius Anagonye going to knock
in
you out.
In your face.
Matt Trannan's going to come in and just break your nose if he has to. And then this is where it's kind of turned around. And I think maybe Kalen Lucas is the closest to healthy. If he's not 100%, he is 95, and it is so obvious. I think it was the last Purdue game, he was really close to getting a step back. He wasn't finishing as well. Now he's got that step back. He's got that confidence. The team's feeding off of that. And to find out that Delvon Rowe has no knee left, really. He's playing on so much pain, and Draymond, he's sick.
Playing with the virus or whatever it is.
He's sick. Didn't think he was going to be able to go. He's yakking before the game. Gets an IV, comes out, and just toughs through it. I mean, that is a difference
that
from where the team was.
That style of toughness,
early.
I agree. Now, here's the deal. Okay, you talked about Kalen Lucas. I think Kalen Lucas, if you base it on recent performance, is the Big Ten Player of the Year. Now, you talked to Dave Revson about this. He has answers about what he thinks about that opinion. But in my opinion, 21 points per game in his last 8 games, and more than anything, like you said, the attitude. Kalen Lucas, for the first time since his sophomore year, has this attitude of, you know what, if we're not playing well, just give me the ball. Just get out of the way, give me the ball, and I will keep us in the game.
This, I can't remember which game it was, might have been Illinois. That might have been the most high ball screens I have ever seen. Whereas, we're not really going to run an offensive set. It's just going to be a Nix, a Day-Day. Come set a screen for me. I'm going to take this guy. I'm going to get into the paint. I'm going to create. And I think Kalen's a very smart player. And he knows how much Jarrell Summers is struggling. And he sees the write down. This is his last season.
Mm-hmm.
He knows if they're going to do anything, he's finally kind of realized, okay, it's on me right now. And that's why 21.4 points per game over his last 8, simply unbelievable.
Yeah, and considering they're playing guys like Keebler and stuff, so that means you're playing 4-on-5 on offense. No offense to Keebler, but nobody's thinking of him as a scoring threat. And so you've got even more emphasis on defending Kalen Lucas, and he's still putting that many numbers. It's like I talked about with Draymond Green. Draymond Green, I like him best when he's a leader on the floor through example. Okay, he can be a verbal leader, and next year he will be a verbal leader. But right now there are seniors who I'm not sure really respond to him except for his effort on the floor. And so that's my favorite thing with Draymond. My favorite thing with Kalen is when he has the attitude of, I'm the best player on the floor. Nobody's better than me on this floor. Okay, his sophomore year, his best games were when he was playing up against some team that had a player that was higher profile than him. He got angry at the fact that people thought he wasn't the best player on the floor.
If you go back to that Kansas game in the tournament, when he finished with the finger roll, just his swagger. And that's what everybody in the media, the post-game press conference after the Illinois game, it was so obvious. There's so many questions at Izzo about Kalen, and he even came up to the podium. It's very rare because it's such a late game. And they're just asking. He's got that feel back. He's got just that. You can just watch, and you see he's completely different. And he does. I agree with you. He knows what matchups he's put in. He knows what he's doing, and he does have that swagger.
And for the first time since sophomore year, he relishes the opportunity to say, no, I'm the best player on the floor. 393-3700, the number to call if you want to get your voice in on MSU Purdue. We'll talk more MSU basketball next. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.